1 Samuel, we continue our study. Recognizing God, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2 is where we'll begin this morning. It's all about Jesus, you know that, right? We have hope because of Jesus. We have expectation of eternal heaven because of Jesus. And while we're here on this earth, it's about us serving our Jesus. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, recognizing God, my Ebenezer. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. And serve Him only, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." And the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and they served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Ask Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again today. And we ask the blessings on the reading of your word, God. Give us, we pray, in Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, there are two battles that everyone must fight. Two battles. That's what we're going to talk about today. The two battles. First battle is the spiritual battle. Second battle is this physical battle. We'll give you insight. Excuse me. Give you insight. You can't win the second one until you take care of the first one. You can't win the physical battle until you take care of the spiritual battle. And that's where we're going to start the message today, with the spiritual battle. Goodness, excuse me. Samuel told the children of Israel, "If you want to return to the Lord, or if you will return to the Lord with all your hearts." And to give you background, Samuel's asking them the question, is this what you want to do? Do you want to return to God? And to give you the background, Israel is in mourning. They're at a point in their history where, spiritually speaking, they're bankrupt. The symbol of their religion had been taken from them in battle over 20 years ago. As they went out to face the Philistines not only whipped them very soundly, killing 30,000 soldiers, but they took the Ark of the Covenant from them. And since that time, been a low point in Israel's history. Basically, it says the people lamented, they were mourning because they were a people without God. and they're ready for a change. It's not working. They don't like this life. And listen, if it doesn't work, why keep doing the same thing? Okay? That's the first challenge I want to... If it's not working, why keep doing the same thing? All right? And so Israel has to ask themselves that question. All right? We're without God. We're a bankrupt nation. Spiritually bankrupt. It's time for a change. And that change starts with the heart. That's why Samuel asked them the question, will you return? Will you return with the Lord with all your heart? If you will, there's a step that you've got to take. And that step is put away the foreign gods. Now this really catches my attention very quickly. Okay? He says, there's some things, if you're going to return to God, there's some things you have to get rid of. And first foremost on that list are the foreign gods. You know what the foreign gods, the definition of that Hebrew word foreign gods, it literally is gods of another land or another people. You see, they had been in Canaan long enough that they had adopted and taken the gods that the Canaanites worshipped instead of maintaining their relationship with Almighty God Himself. And that was the problem. They were worshipping these false idols, these false gods, and trying to mix it with God. And matter of fact, that's the mentality of today. The mentality of today is that we all worship the same God. We just call Him different names. That's a lie from hell. Okay? It's not all the same God. There is only one true God. His name is God. His Son is Jesus Christ. But you've got to make a choice. And that's the challenge today. You've got to fight this spiritual battle and you've got to decide who your God's going to be. Is it going to be the gods of the land or is it going to be the one true God? Maybe you're a Buddhist. And Buddhists, their idea of spirituality is that you can reach this level of enlightenment by meditation and self-contemplation. It just kind of makes me laugh. Can we all just sit around and go, this morning, see what it does for us? That's the idea. They talk about Zen. I read it. I researched it. And I still don't know what Zen is. Yeah? But if this is going to be your God, just back up and ask yourself the question, is this meditation, this idea of self-examination, is it going to make me any different than I am right now? Maybe you're geared towards the Muslim faith. Now, we're going to touch base with five of, they call the pillars of Islam. Here's what you've got to know about the Muslim faith. First of all, there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is His prophet. You've got to adopt that with all, you know, all that you are. Okay? That's pillar number one. Pillar number two. You've got to pray. Five times a day. You've got to recite these ritual prayers. That leaves a lot of us out, right? Five times a day, you've got to recite ritual prayers. You've got to give almsgiving. That is a certain percentage of your income in the year. You've got to fast. Ooh, we fail at this. We'd fail at this, wouldn't we? You've got to... pillar number four, you've got to fast during Ramadan. In the ninth month, you can't eat or drink during the day. Number five, you've got to make a pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in your lifetime. And then if you do all five of these things, you might make it to heaven. And I say might, because a Muslim's entrance into paradise hinges on his obedience to these five pillars. Still, Allah can reject them. Okay? Even Muhammad himself did not know if he would be admitted to paradise. Do you know that? That's in the Quran. All right? Maybe this is your religion. Choose. That's a challenge. Choose. Choose. Maybe you're an atheist. An atheist says there is no God. And, you know, and I question, I don't see how this is possible. You back up and look around and say, there is no creator. This all happened by accident. But if that's your choice, you back up and you say, okay, I'm going to face this life without any help from a divine being. I'm going to fight the battles on my own. I am a freak accident of nature. I crawled out of a primordial sludge and I have evolved into what I am. And once I die, I will just be dead and it'll be over. No wonder there are a lot of depressed people in society. There's no hope. But choose. Maybe you're superstitious. Yeah. Well, there's probably some God somewhere, but I believe in my lucky rabbit's foot, not walking under ladders, not breaking mirrors. Yeah, keep on with that too. Horoscopes. A lot of people do the horoscopes. We won't even go there. Okay? Here's what I want you to do right here at this point. I want you to fight the spiritual battle and I want you to choose. It's either God, one and only true God, or it's something else. But you cannot mix God, your creator, the sustainer of life. You cannot mix Him with anything else. There's only room for one God. And you've got to decide right here, right now, who you're going to fight the battles of this life with. You see, that's what he meant when he said, prepare your hearts for the Lord. That word prepare means to establish. Make up your mind. Decide right here now. What are you? Are you a Christian? Is your God God, Jehovah God, your Savior Jesus Christ? Or are you something else? There is no mixing the two. And that's the idea that Samuel's trying to get across to Israel. You've got to get rid of everything else. It's all God or it's not God at all. You've got to decide. You see, Israel had this constant enemy. They were called Philistines. And you see them rearing up in battle against Israel time and time again. Judges, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, the whole time. Every time you turn around, the Philistines are coming. They're going to have to fight the Philistines. And so Samuel's putting them in a position saying, okay, right here, right now, who are you going to fight the battles of life with? Because I promise you this, there are going to be battles. You see, we've got to decide the same thing. We have a constant enemy. His name is Satan. He wants to do everything he can do to destroy you, what you are. He wants to take your kids. He wants to take your family. He wants to scar you while you're on this earth and send you to hell for eternity. Who are you going to fight the battles with? The horoscopes? The Quran? Who are you going to have by your side? When you close your eyes in death, and we're all going to die. When you take your last breath, who are you going to be holding on to? That there is no God? That it's all over? That, beloved, I choose God. The God, the creator of this universe. That's the challenge for you. Make up your mind. Brother Doug, I made up my mind. Have you? Are you compromising? Are you so rooted in your faith that it does not matter what enemy attacks, you will not bow, you will not bend? You see, because here's the fact, the physical battle's coming. If you don't fight the spiritual battle and establish yourself as the child of God that you claim to be, you're going to have trouble when the physical battle comes. You see, that's what happened here. I love the way that he put it. They gathered together at Mizpah. They're pouring out water before the Lord. You know what that's a symbol of? That's a symbol of them pouring themselves out before the Lord. Okay? Lord, we pour ourselves out to you. We need you. And you know this is coming. They've made their commitment to God. They've gathered at Mizpah, and now the enemy sees them gathered there, and they say, okay, let's go get them. Let's go get them. This is the same enemy that took the Ark of the Covenant from them 20 plus years ago. This is the same enemy that slaughtered 30,000 men years ago. And Israel, of course, is afraid because they're accustomed to losing. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you accustomed to losing? Do you like to lose? Would you raise your hands if you like to lose? No one? That's what I figured. For the last 20 years, Israel has been losing at this point in history. The reason they had been losing is because they were a nation without God. But today's different. Israel had poured themselves out before Almighty God, and as the Philistines gathered together against them, they cry out to Samuel, Samuel, pray to Almighty God for us that the Lord will deliver us. And so Samuel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. I want to ask you this. Where are you today? Are you accustomed to losing? Does it seem like life is one bad break after the other? Does it seem like you take one step forward and two steps back? Yeah. Let me ask you, who's your God? Who's your God? Listen, if you don't have a God, you don't have anyone on your side. But the good news is that today, if you decide, hey, I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of being afraid of everything that happens in my life. I'm tired of losing and Satan tearing up my marriage, tearing up my family. I'm sick of it. Lord God, I pour myself out before you and I call upon you and your power for deliverance. I love 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will turn and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Here's the part I want you to get. Now my eyes will be opened and ears attentive to the prayers made in this place. Throughout the Bible, there's always a point of a turning point. At the point that you decide, hey, this does not work. That it's not everybody worships the same God. It's not Buddha. It's not atheism. It's not all this junk that society seems to be trying to cram down your throat. And you know it is not working. Are you tired of losing? Turn to God. I want to tell you something. God works. I'm not saying you'll never have trouble. I'm not saying you won't get beat up from time to time. But I am saying that you'll never fight that battle alone. And sometimes when it gets really hard, and life gets really hard sometimes. Sometimes when it gets really hard, it seems like everybody's against you and you don't know what you're going to do next. The only thing you have to hold on to is God. Is He your God? Is He your God? You see, make up your mind today. Because what happens, because tomorrow depends on it. I look at the way that God delivered Israel and I just say, wow. Wow. And it says that, verse 10, now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines. Now, I've looked at the Hebrew, and I've tried to understand that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't get it. I don't get what God done. It's a pretty literal translation. It actually says the Lord thundered with a loud or a great voice against the Philistines. I don't pretend to know what that looks like. I don't pretend to know what they heard that day, but I do know the outcome. And you know what the outcome was? God won. Okay? That was the outcome. All right. Has God ever done things in your life that the only explanation was God? You ever been there? I don't know how I got through that, but God carried me because that's the only way I got through it. There's been times in my life financially, my finances did not work. They would not add up. But guess what? I got through it. Paid the bills. You know how? My only explanation is God. There's been times in my life I was scarred and hurting so deeply that I thought, Lord, I can't face another day. But you know what? I faced another day and another week and another year. And my only explanation is God. There's been times in my life that I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with these kids? Lord, what am I going to do with the church? Lord, what am I going to do? And the only explanation I had was God. Because I know that it was God who intervened. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. Listen, it's so very important to make up your mind, because your only hope, your only prayer for deliverance, your only prayer for victory is God Himself. Friends, as I read this, I'm reminded at the end, God won it. And the only reason that Israel was the victorious is because they put themselves in line with God. Listen, we have a new president. Isn't that cool? Now, you may not have voted for Trump, and that's your right. But I want to tell you, we have a new president. And you know what disappointed me? It doesn't surprise me. But what disappointed me is the day after the inauguration, there are people marching, and the man has not done anything yet. And I was watching the interviews yesterday. And I was watching, and they weren't marching because they were being abused. They were marching for fear of losing some right that they have. That's garbage. That is baloney. I do not believe that anyone should be abused. But I'll tell you what, it dawned on me that we have, you know, the same old enemy is rising up. The same enemy of Planned Parenthood, LGBT, feminist liberals who think they can run roughshod over this nation. I pray that the day that such comes to an end. How's that going to be? We got to make up our mind. I fear that Christians have become accustomed to losing. Every time we turn around, some right has been taken. You know, pastors have been investigated and forced to turn over their messages to the authorities, and I tell you, if they want my message, they can come get them. They're online, you know. Have at it. But Christians have been pushed around for quite a while. I'm tired of losing. I really am. And I think, I dare say, and listen, I do not offer this with hatred or abusive heart. No. I offer this from a heart who knows. My only hope is God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I also know that the only hope for this nation is God and Jesus Christ. Oh, they can continue their bullying tactics. My prayer is God will empower Donald Trump and our government to take a stand and decide we serve the Lord. I'm reminded of the words of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, that's the challenge for our nation today. Quit trying to be politically correct and make everybody happy, because you know what? When you try to make everybody happy, nobody's happy. Okay? Choose your God. Choose the God you're going to face tomorrow with and make Him your God. How does it start? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you went to church. See, going to church does not establish the Lord for you. I didn't ask you if your name was on a church roll somewhere. That doesn't establish the Lord for you. I didn't ask you if you were a good person. I'm asking you, have you ever came to the point in your life where you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, that's what we read about in the book of Romans chapter 10. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you done that? Have you done that? If not, you haven't chosen your God. Here's what I know. I believe that God can change things in this nation. I believe that when it's all over, God will have won. But in the meantime, I believe that God can change this nation. And it starts with you and I. It starts with us. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Decide who's going to be your God. Establish the Lord in your heart. Put away the foreign gods, the hindrances, the things that keep you from being the Christian that God has called you to be. May today be the turning point in this nation. And may that turning point began at Victory Baptist Church with you and I as we prepare ourselves for the Lord. Here's what I love in the last part of the text. Samuel took a stone, verse 12, and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." The Ebenezer stone. You know what that word Ebenezer means? It's stone. Rock of help, literally, is what it means. The rock of help. And it was set, he was setting it there to establish for future generations, every time somebody walked by that rock, that they'd know, this is where things changed. This is where Israel experienced the first victory that they had experienced in a long time. And this is where Israel had established themselves in the Lord and chosen their God. And this is where things got right. Here's my challenge to you today. Where's your Ebenezer? Where's that point where you can go back and say, this is where I made up my mind? Listen, I want you to understand. Please understand. As I've preached this today, it's none of this has been intended to take a shot at anyone or anything. But here's what I know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt according to the Word of God, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Until you make up your mind and make your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're fighting a losing battle. Until you, as a child of God, will commit your life to, actually commit your life to Christ, you're fighting a losing battle. Let today be the day that you turn to the rock of help, your Ebenezer, the day that your life changed forever. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your word and the reminder from your word that, Lord, we do have to make up our minds. We do have to choose. We have to decide, Lord, that you are God. And we have to commit our lives to you so that when the storms come, we know that you're there. We know that you're fighting for us and fighting with us. Because so often, Lord, as these enemies rise up, we do get accustomed to losing. Lord, we don't want to lose anymore. Let revival begin right here, right now, today. And Lord, let it begin with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.